It's another tricky issue.
You know, I get why they did this today. What are you actually doing other than just running your mouth?
Time to feel the rush of the round table.
Ryan Doyle, Amanda Galbraith here with you on The Rush. That's Amanda's laugh. She's laughing at my reaction to something she said that I cannot repeat. So let's just move on, shall we? Christy Blatchford is here from the National Post. Hello, Christy.
Hello, guys.
Barb DiGiulio, host of The Night Side. Nice to see you.
Hello, guys.
And Sivan Pelvetzian, who is the CEO of Civic Action. Great to see you.
Great to be seen.
There you go.
I'll check all the time.
That's right.
I mean, I am a lucky man this afternoon. Yeah. There's no doubt about that.
And a frightened one, I expect.
Terrified, actually. Terrified. Let's talk about a guy who, I guess, could be constituted as a lucky man, Justin Trudeau. Today, finding out that he violated the Ethics Act, the watchdog, the ethics czar, found four attempts to bend the will of Jody Wilson-Raybould, the attorney general at the time. Christy, this all has to do with the SNC-Lavalin affair. I look at this and I think that the office of the prime minister should behave better than this. We have rules in place to make sure that that is the case. But we have a prime minister today who basically said, I take full responsibility. Well, let's hear a little more of him, shall we?
Yes.
First off, I want to thank the ethics commissioner for his report. And even though I disagree with some of his conclusions, I fully accept this report and take responsibility for everything that happened.
But, Christy, he broke the rules for us.
Yes, he's heroic, really, a noble figure. I mean, what a crock, eh? This isn't new. What's new, first of all, is that the ethics commissioner has the balls that the prime minister lacks. So good for him. I think this was a tough report. I've read every word of it, as I'm sure you all have. And, you know, it wasn't one attempt. It wasn't a one-off. It was that the PM, despite what Jody Wilson repeatedly told him, the PM and his henchmen, chiefly Michael Warnock and Jerry Butts and also Katie Telford, and Ben Chin from the then, who was then with the finance minister and is, I think, now in the PMO himself, because you should reward disgraceful behavior. All of those people made repeated attempts to change Jody Wilson-Raybould's mind and to give SNC-Lavalin a deferred prosecution agreement. It is a disgraceful indictment of a democratically elected prime minister in a first world country. And, you know, the notion that he says, I accept responsibility, quote, for everything that happened. Well, honey, spell it out. I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have said, Jody, I'm a Montreal MP, Quebec matters, there's an election coming, etc. He didn't take responsibility. Not one whit.
Sivan, I can't argue with a word Christy said. And she's, you know, I think she's spot on with everything there.
This is not the news headline that a government wants 10 weeks before it faces an election. You know, it was 6 months ago that this story first broke, and it kind of died away in the dog days of summer, and now it's just been turbo boosted back in, and it's going to stay in for a while. In part because at the end of the day, this boils down to some process pieces, which government leaders often or recurringly fall on, and character. And up to this point, the character of our prime minister has been really well regarded around the world, right? Domestically and around the world. So this is not good timing. In between now and that election, Jody Wilson's book comes out. So there's another hit that I'm sure the Liberal Party doesn't look forward to seeing, but this is not a story that's going away. Question is how many voters' minds are changed as a result of this? And I just don't know the size of the swing population. To me, that's one of the likely groups that could be affected.
Yeah, Barb, let's talk about this from a real people point of view. We've got a two-time offender, as far as our prime minister is concerned, acting like he's running some sort of banana republic, above the rules, above the laws that govern him. Will that matter to anybody when it comes to the election day?
It's a really interesting question, and I heard you reading out a text message from somebody earlier saying this is only important to the talk show pundits, the regular people aren't caring, are not really paying attention. I have to honestly say, I do know a lot of people who, if I went home later tonight and said, you know the latest, probably would not be up on everything that has happened. And I just have to hope that people really keep themselves connected, educate themselves more as we get closer to the election. And in terms of the Prime Minister's character being well regarded. I think it goes back further, though. It hasn't been up until this point. I think after the India trip, the world started to see. I think it's slowly been...
And the Kokanee grope.
And the Kokanee grope. It's slowly
and
been
And the Aga
eroding.
Khan rubbing on sunscreen.
That one kind of went unnoticed, though, didn't it?
No.
Not for me. Not for Christy. Not for anybody in this room. Okay, Amanda, so what do they need to do to deflect and change the channel?
Amanda, do not give them any of your good advice.
Well, they need to start by not doing what they did this morning, which was take a wander in a garden and look like you didn't care. And you were just passing fancy someone, I'll maybe ask you a question about it, right? He needs to look like he takes it seriously. What they tried to do today was release that in McClellan report, which I think no one's really read or heard of or paid any attention to, which is when they, like, if I were them, these are the things that I'm going to change in my office to make this, like, make sure this doesn't happen again. I've called in this actually independent outside person, not a former Liberal Party cabinet minister and advisor to tell us what to, like, that's what they should do. Are they going to do that? Probably not, because the behavior today was an example of the arrogance that causes them to get into these kind of issues.
And the thing is, it's not a complicated issue. You don't mess about with the Attorney General. You don't cross that line. They crossed it four times that the Ethics Commissioner found out or ruled on, and they did it in all sorts of ways. And one of the amusing things that the report reveals, which I at least wasn't aware of, is that all the while they're leaning on Wilson Raybould and saying, you know, you should get a former Chief Justice, like, you know, Bev McLaughlin, to have a look at this thing. And in fact, SNC had already paid its own lawyer, Frank Iacobucci, who was a former Supreme Court judge, and he got John Major, another former Supreme Court judge, to give, with respect, I say, bought for opinions. And then they presented them to the people in the PMO and the PCO, but they never told Jody Wilson-Raybould. They were actively undermining her in that way.
Also, to have the Prime Minister stand there and say, I accept full responsibility and I will make sure this will never happen again under any government. Mm-hmm. It's your government that has done this.
And it never happened before.
No.
You know, in my household, when I leave too many clothes on the bed of the spare room, I say I take full responsibility for things, knowing full well I'm going to do it again. Yes. If I actually meant that I was going to take full responsibility, I usually apologize for all the clothes I leave in the spare room.
And pick them up.
And pick them
Put
up.
Put them where they're supposed
and
to be.
And don't ever do it again.
I love that's your vice, by the way.
That is really just my
that's
thing.
Some wicked vice.
Well, me vice?
Oh, God, no.
I was going to say.
I think you all know me by now. It's a long list. All right. Toronto Police Chief Mark Saunders says he's using $4.5 million that was collected by the provincial, federal, and municipal government to launch a three-month plan dubbed Project Community Space.
The project will include officers from across the city under the centralized command of the Integrated Gun and Gang Task Force. Work will be intelligence-led and include, but not be limited to, proactive monitoring of bail compliance, more engagement with communities and community programs, increased presence and visibility of officers in areas frequently associated with street gangs and gun violence.
Savan, maybe I nerd out too much about the intelligence gathering, but I do think that there is a part of that that seems to be missing. I think the chief did a good job of underscoring it without tipping his hand to the bad guys. I think that's a missing piece. He's identified it. I'm excited to see where this goes 11 weeks from now, and I have full confidence because he gave me some confidence back today.
I'm glad that happened, but... You know, $4.5 million on a $1 billion plus budget. This is not going to be a game change for what's affecting our city. Toronto is in the big leagues. You know, we've become in these recent years a big metropolitan city. And what comes with that at times are some of these unfortunate parts around an increase in crime and in some cases violent crime. We can keep throwing money at this. Last year alone, the federal government threw $328 million to gun and gang-related funding across the province. Most of that went to RCMP and border security. So yes, 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 it's a great way to spend the money because we can staff up on boots on the ground and think about policing. No, 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 that's not actually going to solve what's happening as young people get recruited into gangs. That's a whole other side of spend.
All right, Christy, when you look at it, though, the chief's got a check in his hand. He's got to spend it somehow. Did he do it the right way today?
Yeah, I think he did. I mean, Savant's right. It's not a ton of money. It's certainly... doesn't address root causes, which is actually where you're going to make the difference if you're ever going to make it. But I think it's a good use of the extra money. I think it will you know, perhaps keep people feeling safer and being safer in some of the troubled communities. But as everyone knows, we just don't do it because we don't care enough. What you actually have to do is really invest in kids when they're little, and that means you got to have all kinds of daycare and school programs and job programs and mentoring programs. And that isn't happening.
Barb?
And that's where, you know, I would like to see more of the money going into the communities to help grow great programs that already exist, but that don't have enough spaces for all of the kids who want to get into them and for all of the parents who want to put their kids in these programs. And Christy's right. It's partly daycare, but there are amazing after-school mentorship programs, and they have wait lists because they just don't have the resources. So while we look at the multi-pronged approach, which I think is necessary, I really do believe that the communities have to be trusted to grow some great programs they already have going on.
Can I just ask the question, not to be the jerk in the room, but, well, everybody's got a role to play. do we believe that these mentoring programs and all the things you just mentioned, all of you just mentioned, are bigger and have a bigger lure than the drug trade and the drug racket and the gang game and all of the money that you can make from the drug trade?
Most of the kids are good kids, and they will respond to having good role models in their lives, to having a place to go at the end of school, to all of those things. Education's the first thing. So I think it would actually work. And Ryan, the reason we don't know will it work is because we've never freaking tried it.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of the people who run these programs, and I say this because of the ones that I know a couple of them, have some kind of questionable stuff in their past, and they've decided to turn their lives around. Mm-hmm. So when I think that they are the ones talking to the young kids before they get lured into stuff that's not good for them. Mm-hmm. And really, I think it comes from a place of wanting to feel a part of something and wanting to belong. And that can just as easily be a good thing as opposed to a bad thing.
Amanda, the chief made a point today saying, you know, it's not even the gangs nowadays that, you know, you're just proud to be part of that gang. You know, you're proud to wear those colors. It's a business. He underscored the fact that this is a business bringing in major money.
Yeah, and Sev made that point a little earlier, right? Like, we're a big booming city. We have big sophisticated businesses coming here, and they're legal and illegal. Mm-hmm. And that needs to be tackled with proper resources, be it investigative, be it police, and also be it, frankly, like dedicated ongoing funding for a lot of these community groups who, frankly, are year to year, month to month. And that is a huge problem, not just municipal funding, but also provincial funding and federal.
Agreed.
All right. Well, we're going to leave it there. Barb DiGiulio, we'll hear from you a little later on with
you
a preview
will.
Coming up
thank
of The Night Side at 6:55. Savan Povetsian and Christy Blatcher, thank you both.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.